All right. So for the same reason as there, we also get now that so the di, right, derivatives with respect to the divisor moduli of these chain periods pi alpha are actually they're periods of two zero forms. Yeah, OP. Right, so right. So call them omega I. Right, where the omega I is just the contraction of the big omega contracted with the normal deformation corresponding to the modulus CI. And so that gives a 2-0 form, which we call omega I. Okay. So the natural metric, so there's a natural Kähler metric on the moduli space. And that's simply given by this formula, which okay, because this subdual is actually positive definite, and you can also write this then as integral of well, let me write it in this way, d of pi alpha q alpha beta j pi beta, where q alpha beta is the inverse intersection form, so q alpha beta is nothing but the intersection form on P in two cycles. This is the inverse, and so it's obviously the same. And now the fact that this is scalar is of course manifest, so you get this thing. So this is the Kähler potential, if you want. Yeah. Okay. Now, crucial for what will follow is that so similar to what you get in n equals 2 special geometry, in n equals 1 special geometry, which was introduced, I guess, by Lurkin, Meyer, and Warner. Okay. So you have, well, Griffith's transversality, which means so that acting with okay, so the this derivative on pi alpha is a 2-0 form. Now you act with another holomorphic derivative on this and you get a mix of 2-0 and 1-1 form, and you act a third time and you get a mix of 2-0, 1-1 and 0-2 forms. Right. More precisely, actually, if you act with the covariant derivative on these 2-0 forms, then, well, the connection part here exactly kills off the 2-0 part that's left. And so you get that this is nothing but a period of a 1-1 form on P. So in particular, that means that this, for example, will be orthogonal to this derivative with respect to this intersection product. And so we will make use of that in a minute. Okay. So, right. So, as Kumran asked me during the break, he said, "Well, doesn't this just follow from, just taking the divisor, arbitrary point in the moduli space, looking at nd zero brains on that, and considering the symmetric product of these nd zero brains, and taking that to be the, omega pq, and then looking at one over an expansion of that, doesn't that give the result immediately, and doesn't that make this all this trivial?" So the answer is no, because it's not trivial, because indeed, that's the first thing I tried, but then you get the wrong result. And, well, the subtle thing here is, so for the, of course, the leading order, that will give the right result. But the subtle thing is that there are all these configurations of fluxes, some of which actually do not introduce any D2 brain charge, but they do induce D0 brain charge. And so for each of these sort of fluxes, you can have 0, 1, 2, whatever, a certain number of critical point solutions of this equation. And, in principle, you have to count all of those. And this will give a sub-leading but important contribution to the total number of VBS states. And so so a priori, it looks like a very difficult problem, right? Like, you have to count all the number of critical points of this W and then add everything up. But anyway, so that's what you really have to do. And it gives a result that is different from the naive one and correct. So, okay, in particular, okay, let's set up this problem. How can we count the number of these critical points? Well, we can at least write a formal expression that does the counting. And so the number of solutions, if there are any, for at a given f, right? Number of solutions to dw equals 0 is given by the integral over the divisor moduli space of this thing. Okay, so this delta function picks out the critical points of W. And then this determinant factor is here to ensure that each of these delta functions contributes with weight plus 1 to the total. All right, so this really just counts the number of critical points. Well, almost is actually this is this squared. That's correct, because it's holomorphic and anti-holomorphic. Great. Now, oh yeah, one thing. So a priori, you would just have delta I, delta j here, but you're free to use covariant derivatives because of this. Well, delta w is 0 anyway, so adding connection part doesn't change this integral at all. But of course, as usual, it's much easier to compute with covariant derivatives, so we keep with covariant. Okay. So
is this what we want to identify at omega?
Not completely, because the main factor, of course, comes. So once, okay, for a generic flux, you will freeze the divisor moduli, right, in these isolated points. But then there are still degrees of freedom corresponding to the n D0 brains moving around on this D4 brain. So for each of these frozen components of the divisor moduli space.
But the question I wanted to ask was that, so are you assuming that actually omega can be regarded as a counting number of classical supersymmetric configuration of these D brains?
Yes.
Why?
Well, what would you have in mind?
I would have thought that omega would be counting number of quantum mechanical states.
This is, okay, it's classical in the sense that we work in large radius limit and, you just use a G-string equals 0 D-brain picture. But I'm really computing the cohomology of the moduli space, if you want. But okay, so that's what I was going to say now. Okay. So the divisor moduli space, the divisor moduli get generically frozen, right? What's left then are these N and the zero brains, right? They can move around, so that gives for each of these frozen components, it gives a moduli space, a residual moduli space. That's a symmetric product of the divisor, right? And so the contribution to the total number of VBS states from that component will be given. Well, in the case that B1 of a divisor is 0, like the absolute total number of states is just equal to the Euler characteristic of the moduli space, because there's no odd cohomology. or more generally, actually, the Euler characteristic might be the right index to use anyway to do the counting. So this is what we compute. So symmetric product of P, which is given by the partitions of n with chi colorings. So where this P chi of n is given by the usual generating function. So some n P chi of n times q to the n minus chi over 24 is nothing but 1 over eta of q to the power chi. Yeah. So actually the main part of the degeneracy would actually come from these guys, but it's a subleading part that's a new thing, and that's what makes this. This was already pointed out by Kumarun and others like hundreds of years ago. Okay. So.
So perhaps I should wait what you're saying, but the question could, coming from the viewpoint of the theory on the fibrain, you could think about the theta function partition of the U1 fluxes, of the H fluxes. Is this the piece that's going to be corresponding to what you're doing? In other words, now if there's a correction of a theta function type.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to be doing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. All right. So we get for the black hole partition sum. We model one issue that I'm ignoring, but I'm going to get to that. So we get sum over Q. What is the definition? Pi naught Q naught minus pi A Q A. So that now, well. So I have to sum over all of the number of the zero brains n over all possible fluxes f. So the number of solutions to the delta w equals zero equation is like this, right? And then, okay, for each of these, you get p chi of n BPS states. And then we just multiply this by phi naught, q naught. Well, as I wrote in the beginning, is n minus 1 half f squared minus chi over 24. And then there's the two brain charge, so remember the QA was JA dot F, right? And so if I define this capital phi as phi I JI, so this is an element considered as an element of H to P, then I can dot this with F and I get precisely this, right? So this is just the phi of that. Okay? All right. But so note, it's not that this is just an entirely trivial factor, because of course, so for some of these f's, you get 0, 1, 2, 3, and so on, and depending on these different weights, you get here different coefficients and different weights, different contributions. So now, there is one thing I neglected, and that is, of course, for some values of f, the critical points of w will not be isolated, so you are still left with a moduli space of deformations of the D4 brain. And in principle, you would have to quantize that as well. So you will also get these additional contributions to the total Z. Now, however, remember the approximation we are going to make is the large Q naught or the small phi naught approximation. And that will amount to the fact, that we allow the fluxes to become very large, because these fluxes will contribute to the zero brain charge. And so the approximation we're going to make in parallel to the approximation of we're made to the current flux vector is we're going to instead of summing over flux, we're going to neglect the quantization condition. We're going to integrate over the fluxes. So that will be the central approximation. And so once we do that, once we accept that as an approximation, then, well, the subset of fluxes for which the divisor does not get fixed will be of measure zero. Right? So it's only for very special fluxes that this will not be the case. And so we can, in that approximation, we can neglect these components. Okay. So. Yeah. Okay. All right. So now, so approximation. Integral d m. All right. So now let's rewrite this delta function, which is this thing. We rewrite everything as Gaussian integrals. So this is just this delta function, and then the determinant of m alpha. Sorry, this was m alpha. M alpha well, this you can write as a fermionic Gaussian integral. Sorry. Yeah, so this is a fermionic integral that gives back this determinant. And so in other words, you know, if you plug all this back in here, then we see that we've reduced this whole system to just some Gaussian integral. One thing that I forgot to mention. So this part, sum over n, can be extracted out of this partition sum. N is equal, so the sum over n part just gives you sum over n p chi over n. And which is, of course, phi naught n, and then there is this minus chi over 24 shift. This is exactly what we need to make this just into 1 over eta e by phi naught to the chi, right? So the sum over n part is not a problem. The sum over f part, we turn into an integral. We turn all these, the constraint and the determinant, into this Gaussian integral, and so we end up with just one big Gaussian integral. So this trick goes back to Mike and Ashok Douglas's work. Sujay Ashok's work. Okay, and well, it's a Gaussian integral, so you know, and it's just like some, if you want, boson fermion-fermion interactions, but you can just perform all these integrals. You can do the integral over M. And so the part of Z, so the sum F, or the, right, the sum F part of Z, which we approximate by this integral over F, becomes 1 over pi to n, 2 over phi naught, b2 over 2, and then this nasty looking expression, which is phi alpha minus I lambda I d I alpha. Alpha beta, and then here the same thing with the beta index instead of an alpha index, right? So, okay, and well, of course there are the integrals over theta and psi and z and so on, right? Suppress all these integrals. Oops, sorry. Okay. So this looks pretty bad and would tempt you to give up. However, now this is where this special geometry structure comes in. It turns out that almost all cross terms here, in fact, vanish. And that is, this is because of orthogonality, for example, of 2-0 forms with 1-0 forms and so on. So remember what I said earlier, this corresponds to the period of a 1-1 form. This corresponds to 2-0 form. In complex conjugate, you have 1-1 and 0-2 and so on. And this, since this is the, remember the phi alpha was given by phi a j a, and this alpha, right, considered as a form on P. So this is pulled back from the Amian space, and this is a 2-form pullback from the Amian space. So this is a 1-1 form as well. And in fact, it's a 1-1 form that's orthogonal also to this 1-1 form. For the simple reason that a flux pullback from the Amian space, remember as I said, gives a dw that's zero everywhere for every value of the moduli. So also the second derivative of that will vanish, and so phi alpha dotted with or intersected with this thing will be identically zero as well. So you see most of the cross terms just vanish, with the exception of these guys. So the non-zero intersection products are simply 0-2 times 2-0 times 0-2, which by definition is just our metric Gij. Then there is 1-1 times 1-1, and this, well, so how do you compute these things? Well, you just use the Leibniz rule. You know, you take this covariant derivative outside, then what's inside is just 2-0 times 1-1, so that vanishes, so then you have the other term minus that times the covariant derivative of this expression, and you do that once again, and then you just pull all these covariant derivatives through, and you get, by definition, the curvature, which is RIPH. Oh, so this is the curvature, and then final thing, which is non-zero. And then there's a similar thing, 1, 1, 1, 1, but both holomorphic. And, well, this is just, well, whatever it is, sort of a generalization of the CIJK or whatever, Yukawa couplings of N equals Q special geometry, just some thing with four holomorphic indices, and it's completely symmetric in these indices. We can call it FIJKL. However, this thing, because it's symmetric in all these indices, will drop out of these contractions because of the fermionic variables here. So this we don't even have to think about. So this whole expression just collapses simply to this exponential pi over phi naught times 1/2 phi squared minus gij bar lambda I lambda bar j bar plus R I J K L bar, and then a bunch of fermions. Okay. And that's it. Nothing more.
Okay.
So now we're almost done. Now you can do the integral over lambda, which just gives a determinant of, well, 1 over determinant of G. We can do the integral over the thetas.
Say, 1 over determinant of G?
Yeah, because lambda is a boson, right? Then this, we can, for example, do the integral over the size. Okay, so this. So doing these integrals gives, exactly gives pi to the n, e to the pi squared. It just stays in this, and then we get determinant of g. I can write the gij inverse. Okay. And then the integral over the psi gives determinant of r I. I'm messing up the indices here, but okay. So it's this is what it should have been here. I think I interchanged some bars, but okay. okay. So, and the determinant is over the I and the K indices. Yeah. So this now, well, I can take this determinant inside and just use this to get this into this thing becomes nothing but determinant of R K I J L. Okay, and now, well, so we've got these fermionic guys here, but then there's also, remember, there's still this measure here, D2 and Z. And so that together effectively gives you not but the determinant of the curvature form of the moduli space. Okay. So, so all that together with this d and d2 and z measure is after integrating our theta determinant r, where r is a curvature form. So r k I is 2 r k h l. So the determinant of that. So, one step and a dumb. the only thing that we still need to do to get it in this OSV-like form is do a modular transformation on this eta function that we got from the sum over n, right? So we had this 1 over eta e pi e pi phi naught net to the power pi. So that is nothing but phi naught over 2, chi over 2, 1 over eta chi e 4 pi. All right. And, okay. Taking everything together now, and keeping in mind that we're making the small phi naught approximation, which in particular means, for example, that here we can drop all terms but the leading one, right? Because it will be exponentially suppressed at small phi naught. Taking all that together gives this phi naught over 2 chi minus b2 over 2 times exponent of pi over phi naught so this thing here is the Euler characteristic of the device is pq plus c2p and then plus 1/2 phi squared. So this is valid for any device on the cloud. Yeah. Okay. So. Oh, and then of course times this integral of the determinant of r divided by pi over n, which we could call chi hat of m. So this formula looks exactly like the Euler characteristic of the moduli space. However, it should be kept in mind that this is with respect to this GIJ metric, this thing, which may and will have singularities, right? So this Euler characteristic may be tricky to evaluate and may be fractional and so on. I mean, if it's in any way like the Euler characteristics that you get in the closed string case, indeed you find fractional values. So in particular, one compactification of this moduli space you could do for very ample devices in the Calabi-Yau is basically just a projective space. But it may be that this Euler characteristic is just equal to the Euler characteristic of this projective space. I really mean just CPD, right, with the dimension of the. But that's not clear. But at any rate, this is just some constant that just depends on the magnetic charge. So if you have good memory, you will recognize here exactly what we had before, this leading piece. And then, there is this thing here. So this is the Euler characteristic of the divisor minus B2 over 2. Now, for generic divisors, we'll have B1 equal 0. So in that case, or at least generic, very ample devices. So in that case, chi is just B2 plus 2, right? And so in that case, this just equals 1 most of the time. So it's almost exactly the from conjecture by OSV, apart from this phi naught prefactor, which, however, gets a very universal form. And in fact, even though it was not clear, this, for example, for the small black holes and so on, this phi naught is also always there. And also I saw in the paper of Shi and Yin, you find a similar phi naught factor. So this presumably is related to a measure factor, which they also propose. But anyway, this is the result. And so it may not seem like a spectacular outcome. After so many complicated computations, but there are many things that were actually crucial along the way. So, for example, the fact that we summed over all fluxes was also important because I didn't mention that, but in doing the integral, you also get this the determinant, the Gaussian integral, you get the determinant of the intersection form, and so because you're really summing over the entire flux that is determinant is just one, so you don't get any weird additional factors, and so on. So the only interesting factor that additional is this thing, and I guess it would be interesting to be able to compute this and compare with leading order coefficient of maybe other ways of estimating the BPS degeneracies and see if it agrees. So one final word. So we made this small phi not approximation, right? That's one thing. It still needs to be done. It's just see what the errors are, and if perhaps by making a more refined computation, where instead of doing this Gaussian approximation, you do just a Poisson resummation, if you can retrieve more of the structure, original conjecture.
Two times.